You care to open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 17. Lord willing, I'm going to preach on the second half of this chapter in the next hour, and I could not pass up the opportunity to look at the first half before we look at the second half. So 1 Kings chapter 17. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy and reverend is your matchless name. And we thank you that you are God of all the earth, God who controls everything that happens in your creation. Everything that happens is according to your eternal will and purpose that you decreed before time began, and that nothing happens by chance, by the will of man, by the will of Satan, but according to your eternal will and purpose. That you rule and reign in all things, and no one can stay your hand or ask you, what are you doing? Father, give us peace of heart and rest, knowing that you rule all things well. That nothing happens to us for the detriment of your people, but always for good and for your glory. Father, this morning I pray that you would enable us to hear a word from thee and to worship you. Enable us to hear the word of God with the ear of faith, the ear that you give, and to believe it with the heart that you give, a heart of faith and love. Father, bless us this morning. Don't let your people just hear the words of a man, but speak to us through your word, that your people might be saved, that your people be fed and comforted and encouraged. And what we ask for ourselves, we ask for our children's classes. Father, we pray that you'd bless them in a special way. Bless our teachers and bless our children, that these classes that they have may lay the foundation of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, that you'd use this time to sow the seeds of faith in their heart, that you would, in your time, cause to grow to life and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray a blessing for your people who you brought in the time of trouble and trial. We pray that you'd meet their need richly according to your will and your purpose. We pray a special blessing for Julie and her family at this time, that you'd comfort their hearts at this time of loss and sorrow. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our many sins. See us and hear us only in our Lord Jesus Christ. It's for his glory and in his name we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, 1 Kings chapter 17. This is a very familiar story. About everybody knows how this widow woman was fed during a time of great famine in the land. And I want us to see this story as a picture of salvation. Salvation through faith in Christ. Salvation that comes by believing Christ, and faith that lives feeding upon Christ. Now, faith is not just a belief that somehow, some way, everything's going to be okay. Saving faith has an object. Saving faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. And saving faith is not just this blind hope everything will be okay. Saving faith is based upon the Word of God. And anything else that's not based upon the Word of God, that's not in Christ alone, is not saving faith. Let's look here, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now this was a very bad famine. It affected everyone, everywhere. Many people all around this whole area were starving to death. And this story ought to be interesting to us, because you and I are living in a time of very serious famine. Now it's not a famine of water or food. It's a spiritual famine. You don't have to turn there, but let me read this to you from the book of Amos, Chapter 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, isn't that our day? In our day, we have not a famine of bread. We've got plenty to eat, plenty to drink. It's a spiritual famine. And just like Elijah's famine, our spiritual famine affects everyone, everywhere. People are starving to death, spiritually starving to death, and they're dying and going to hell. And our famine comes from Adam's dead sin nature. Nobody can escape it. The only hope of life we have, the only hope of spiritual food that we have, the only hope of salvation that we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the story here that follows is a picture of how God saves a sinner through faith in Christ and causes that sinner to live feeding upon Christ. Now first, in this thing of salvation, there's going to be a prophet. There's going to be a preacher. And that preacher lives upon the same faith that he preaches. Verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Now Elijah the prophet lived by the same faith that he preached. He believed God. And we know he believed God because he obeyed God. And he went where God told him to go. And while he was there, Elijah ate by faith. By faith. God-given faith. Elijah relied upon God to feed him in a miraculous way. When there are no visible means by which God could feed him, Elijah ate by faith. He trusted that the Lord would provide just like God promised that he would. And God fed Elijah in the most unlikely way, by ravens. Now, ravens are unclean animals. And normally, they eat meat. But now, they're bringing meat to Elijah twice a day. I read that ravens are so self-centered, they'll neglect their young and let their young go hungry so they can go eat themselves. Yet they faithfully brought bread and meat to Elijah twice a day because God commanded them to. God's going to use the most unlikely means to feed his people, ravens, unclean, sinful men and women. And God's preachers will be men who bring meat, who bring spiritual bread faithfully to God's people. These ravens brought meat and they brought bread. Now you wonder, where in the world did ravens get bread? The writers have a lot of speculation about that. I don't know. But this I know, they faithfully did. Brought bread to Elijah twice a day. He ate by faith and Elijah drank by faith. It didn't matter that it wasn't raining. God miraculously provided water for Elijah to drink from that brook. Many other people didn't have anything to drink, but Elijah did. That brook ran with water for Elijah to drink. Now, let me ask you this question. Would he have had food and drink if he had gone anywhere else other than where God told him? Would he? No, he wouldn't. No, he stayed there, he ate, and he drank by faith, obeying God. And all of this is a picture of how a believer feeds upon Christ, the bread of life, and drinks of Christ, the water of life. This is all of Christ. Our Lord said, my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Christ is the believer's meat, and Christ is the believer's drink. See, a believer, we don't just believe on Christ one time. We don't just make a profession of faith and then go on our merry way. No, the believer believes Christ, believes on Christ, and then he feeds upon Christ. We receive life from believing Christ. By faith, we receive life. And that life is sustained by feeding upon Christ. It's a continual living upon Christ. The Lord God has provided salvation for his people. in the most unexpected way. By God's Son becoming a man and obeying God's law for his people. And then he traded his righteousness. He traded his obedience for the sin of his people. He was made sin for his people, and he put that sin away by sacrificing himself to pay everything justice demands. Now that's a miracle. And then, another miracle, God gives a dead sinner faith to believe Christ, to believe on him. He is my righteousness. To believe on him, he is my salvation. God gives faith to believe Christ, and then he gives faith, that same faith lives feeding upon Christ. Now that's what Elijah was doing down there by the brook. Now down there by that brook, Elijah had everything that he needed. God provided for him. I can just imagine Elijah was very, very content at that time down there by that brook. There weren't a bunch of people for once in his life, for once at least in his public life, there weren't a bunch of people trying to kill him. There wasn't a bunch of people causing him grief. He wasn't fighting false prophets all the time. He didn't have to live with the unbelief of the people when he preached to them. It was just peaceful and quiet and beautiful. He was enjoying himself there. God gave Elijah everything he needed to sustain him so that Elijah would have a real story to tell sinners. Christ is all that the believer needs to sustain him. And you trust him. He's all that you need. God will give you everything that you need in him. That's the message that Elijah preached, and that's the faith that he lived. God's preachers, we preach the grace. We preach the mercy. We preach the salvation that we have experienced by God's grace. And Elijah stayed there by that brook by faith because he believed God. He was there feeding upon Christ. And then Elijah moved and he went preaching when God sent him there too. Look at verse 7. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise and get thee unto Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now Elijah never would have left that brook unless the Lord forced him to leave. The Lord had to dry up that river and it quit sending those ravens with bread and meat. Because if he didn't, Elijah never would have left. Same thing happened to the Jews in Jerusalem after our Lord's resurrection. They'd have stayed right there forever. God had to send persecution to drive them out. He told them before he ascended back on high. He told them, now you go into all the world and preach the gospel. And after that, what were they doing? They were all staying there in Jerusalem, weren't they? They were just content to be, you know, there with one another. And the Lord seemed to be blessing them. And the Lord had to send affliction to drive them out into all the world to preach the gospel. That's what he did to Elijah. See, we walk by faith. We live by faith, faith in Christ, and we walk by faith. Now, walk in the light God gives you. Don't move until the Lord gives you more light. When it's time for you to move, the Lord will move you. When it's time for you to go somewhere else, the Lord will open the door. You just wait. You don't have to kick the door down. You don't have to go wandering around looking for something. Just wait until the Lord gives you more light and he opens the door. When it's time for you to go, you'll go. That's what happened to Elijah. So first, in this thing of salvation, there's got to be a prophet who lives the faith that he preaches. And second, there's got to be a sinner who's in need. Verse 9, we meet this sinner. He told Elijah to go into Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Now Elijah went where God sent him. He's preaching. He went there on the trail of God's sheep. You know, the Lord didn't tell him just go there and see what happens. The Lord told him to go there and meet this widow. Now, this widow woman don't know it yet, but she's one of God's elect. At least, she's a picture of one of God's elect. If you look at Luke chapter 4, in our Lord's very first recorded public message, we believe it was his first one, he mentions this widow woman as a picture of God's electing love. In Luke chapter 4, verse 25, but I tell you of a truth, Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. There were many Jewish widows, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman there that was a widow. Now the Lord gave that illustration to show that he saves whom he will, and he passes by whom he will. There's not something we can do to earn God's grace. There's nothing we can do. There's nothing about our flesh that would cause the Lord to choose us. During this famine, the Lord passed by every starving Jewish widow in the land, and he sent his prophet to a starving Gentile widow, a sinful woman. The Lord chose to have mercy on this poor widow, because that's who God shows mercy to. The worst of the worst sinners, the poor and the needy. She's also a picture of God's elect in this way. Before the Lord sent her a prophet, the Lord put her in great need. He waited until the famine was bad in the land, and then he sent her a prophet. And the Lord prepared her heart to receive and to believe the gospel that that prophet would come preaching. The Lord told Elijah, I've commanded her to feed you. Now she may not even know it yet, but the Lord had already prepared her heart to receive this prophet. And this woman is a picture of every needy sinner that God saves. Like I said, she didn't know yet she's one of God's elect, but this is what she does know. She's in a famine, and she knows she's going to starve to death, and she's going to do that right soon. She's in trouble. At this time, a widow was probably one of the most helpless and hopeless people that there was. Widows and orphans are the two most helpless people, most vulnerable people, because she had no one else to provide for her. This Gentile widow, she is in great need. I mean, she really can't even have any hope in the God of Israel helping her, can't she? I bet all those Jewish widows thought, oh, God will help me because I'm a Jew. She had even no hope, no reason to expect that the God of Israel would have mercy on her. None whatsoever. So first there's a prophet. Then there's a sinner in need. And thirdly, this thing of salvation, there's got to be a message of grace. Here it is, verse 10. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a little morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me. And after, make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Now Elijah went to this town like the Lord told him. He was on the trail of one of God's sheep. He was looking for this widow woman. But when he met her, he didn't know if this was the woman that God had commanded to feed him or not. He had no way of knowing that. She didn't go around with the word elect on her forehead. He had no way of knowing. So you know how he found out? He told her what God commands. He asked her, give me a little something to drink. Now right in a famine where there's been no rain. All right, that's kind of bold, isn't it? Ask for a drink. But then he really pressed the issue. He said, bring me a little food, too. Bring me a little bread, too. He said that to a starving woman, a woman who's starving to death. He asked her, bring me something to eat. Now, he didn't know if she was this woman or not. He didn't know if she was one of God's elect or not. At this point, she didn't know either. At this point, she didn't even know that the Lord had commanded her to feed this prophet. She didn't even know that yet. Well, that's God's preachers. We don't know who God's elect are. And before people hear the gospel, they don't know if they're one of God's elect either. So what do? We do what God told us to do, what God's commanded us to do, preach the gospel. The gospel is a commandment. And this is the commandment of the Lord God Almighty. You believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then we find out who God's elect are by waiting to see who believes it. Because those who believe it, those who come to Christ and bow to Him, that's God's elect. Those are the ones God sent us to preach to. See, Elijah didn't start out saying, telling this woman, now listen, you're one of God's elect, so you just feed me and everybody will live just fine. He didn't start out that way, did he? He started out by exposing her need. When he asked her for something to eat, and she didn't have anything to give, he exposed her need. She didn't even have enough to keep her and her son alive. I mean, the best plan she came up with this time is to use up the last of her hoarded resources, and there must not have been much, because to build a fire to bake these cakes, she just gathered two sticks. I mean, it couldn't have been much. She's going to eat up the last of her hoarded resources, and she can watch her son starve to death, and then she's going to starve to death. When we begin preaching the gospel, we begin by exposing our need. We begin by exposing our sin. We begin by exposing our lack of righteousness, our lack of faith, our lack of life. When we begin preaching the gospel, we begin by exposing our lack of anything that God requires and exposing our desperate need of Christ. We begin by exposing our spiritual death in Adam so that we're not capable of doing anything to please God. And then we say, you trust Christ. You come to Christ. You cast your soul upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He has provided by His obedience and by His sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ has provided salvation for His people. He died to put away the sin of God's elect. And it's gone. It's all gone. Now you trust Him. You trust Him and you'll never die. You trust Christ and your soul shall live. You trust Him, you'll have forgiveness of your sin. You trust Him, you'll have righteousness for your soul. You'll trust Him, you'll have fellowship with God. You trust Him, you'll have everything in Him that you lost in Adam. Now you come and trust Christ. Now listen, this is the gospel. You must trust Christ in order to be saved. You must. I must trust Christ in order to be saved. That's the commandment of the gospel. Right, here's the fourth thing in this thing of salvation. It's God-given faith. You must believe Christ in order to be saved. But here's our problem. By nature, we can't do it. We don't have the ability to do it. So you know what God does? He gives His people faith to believe Christ. Verse 15. This is faith. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days, a full year. Now this is saving faith. This is not blind faith. Why does she go do what the prophet told her to do? Her faith was founded upon the word of God. It wasn't like, well, you know, I may as well give God's prophet something first and then hope. Maybe God will feed me because, you know, I sacrificed to feed the prophet. That's not faith. No, not at all. Her faith was founded upon the word of God. She believed that God would do what He said He'd do. She acted and she did the impossible. She gave away the last of her food, the last bite of food her child would ever have. As far as she could see she had resources for, she gave it away. Because she believed God. And lo and behold, it all came to pass just like God said it would. The Lord brought this woman to the end of herself. So she saw she had no hope in herself. She was totally dependent upon the Lord. And then the Lord sent His prophet with a message of grace. And then, and only then, did the Lord give her faith. Faith to trust Christ. Faith to trust that the Lord would provide. By faith, this poor Gentile widow gave away everything that stood between her and the grave. She gave away all of it. Now the only reason you do such a thing is you believe the word of God. That's the only reason. Her only hope of life is that God would keep His word. And if that's your only hope, if your only hope is that God will keep his word. I don't understand it. I don't understand how he'd do it. I don't understand the physics of it, the science of it, the theology of it. I don't understand, but the only hope I have is that God will keep his word. If that's your only hope, you got a good hope. She had a good hope. And this is a picture of how God saves his people. God has an elect people. He chose a people to save. And he's going to bring all of those people to the end of themselves. So they learn. They've got no hope in themselves. They got no hope of salvation in anything that they'll do. And then God's going to send them a preacher. God's going to send them a preacher who's preaching the message of grace in Christ Jesus. And then the Lord gives them faith. Faith to believe Christ. And faith to cast their entire soul on Christ alone. How often have you heard this story? Someone's been in false religion and they'll say, I wasn't happy there. I knew what they were saying wasn't right, but I didn't know what was right, but I knew that wasn't right. I was looking for something, and then I heard the gospel. I said, that's it. And they believed. That's exactly what happened to this woman, isn't it? That's the picture here. And saving faith gives away all hope in anything except Christ. It thrusts, not only does it give it away, it thrusts it away. It don't want anything to do with any hope but Christ. Saving faith, trust Christ to be my righteousness or I'm not going to have any. Saving faith, trust Christ to be my life or I'm not going to have any. Saving faith doesn't want anything between me and hell but the Lord Jesus Christ. This woman believed God and she lived feeding upon Christ. Now, I'm just going to make an assumption that this woman is kind of like me. How often do you reckon she went to bed at night wondering, is there going to be meal and oil in the morning? Now, I used it all up today. When I get up in the morning, open up the cupboard, is there going to be meal and oil in there? This went on for a full year. I mean, how often do you think, okay, she thought it's going to be it's been 300 days. I know God's... But tomorrow, now, he's not going to give up. I didn't live very good today. I got mad at the prophet. I got mad at my son. All my weak faith. I know the Lord's been providing, but he's going to quit now. How often you thought that? I think she thought that when she was laying in bed at night. Saving faith is always for right now. For right now. Saving faith is always today's faith. You know, I can't live off of yesterday's faith. I believe God yesterday. But I can't live off yesterday's faith. I must live by faith today. And I can't feed off of tomorrow's faith. I've got to feed off faith today. And this meal in the barrel is a picture of Christ, the bread of life. Where'd that meal come from? Well, it was wheat. Wheat was planted in the ground one day by a farmer. And it grew. It grew. A tender plant grew up out of that dry ground. And it grew. And when it got to the fullness of life, it was cut down. It was taken to the threshing floor. And it was ground into powder. It was mixed with some oil and it was baked in a hot oven. All to make bread for the hungry to eat. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a root out of a dry ground. Just a twig sticking up out of a dead, dry ground. A baby born in a manger. But he grew. He grew to full life. In the prime of his life, he was cut down. And at Calvary, he was ground into powder under the wheel of God's justice. And all that happened so that the spiritually hungry would have living bread, the bread of life for their soul. And the oil is a picture of God the Holy Spirit, who comes and gives life to his people by applying the blood of Christ to our hearts, by enabling us to see the things of Christ and believe them. Now, salvation is all one work. It's one work, but it's the work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all together. And saving faith believes Christ. Saving faith. We have salvation by faith. By faith. By faith in Christ. And saving faith will continue. Continue believing Christ. Continue to feed upon Christ. Because saving faith can only live on Christ. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now the Lord, when it came, Elijah came to her, he didn't just give her immediately enough for 365 days. And then you just ration it out and, you know, you'll have enough for a year. That's not how the Lord did it. He gave her enough for one day at a time. One day. She couldn't look to tomorrow, could she? She had to look to today. She couldn't look to yesterday. She's got to look to today. But every single day, there's enough. Every single day, there was enough meal, enough oil to feed her, her son, and the prophet. And that's how faith walks. Saving faith doesn't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk trusting Christ. We live trusting Christ. One day at a time. One day at a time. Continually living upon Christ. And you'll find that trusting Christ every day, you'll find Christ is enough for every single day. Some days are going to bring some different things than other days. But you'll find, trusting Christ, that every day, in every situation, Christ is enough. All right. Now, Lord willing, we'll pick up there in a few moments.